Hello, Philip here from 633, and welcome to this new podcast episode. If you're wanting to explore faith, or are already a follower of Jesus, then 633 is here for you. Based on some words of Jesus, 633 points to a way of life that Jesus came to show us, one filled with God's love and presence, making himself and his realm available to us all. There are two main series of podcasts. First, Explore, for those who want to know about faith in Christ but haven't perhaps yet made any decisions. And secondly, Follow, for those who are already believers in Jesus Christ. Though, obviously, please listen to both of these series. This episode is part of the Explore series, and my title today is Discover Christ. So, hello, welcome. I want to explore today what it means to find Jesus Christ or to discover Jesus Christ. Some people may feel they already have. Others may be searching, wondering, or just curious. Let me tell you about one of the first people to find Jesus Christ. And I want to look at his story a little bit with you and try to tease out some of the things we can perhaps discover for ourselves. I want to introduce you to Andrew because he discovered Jesus Christ. In the Bible, in John's Gospel, we read these words. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John, that's John the Baptist, had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." This guy, Andrew, discovered Christ. What does that even mean? And what particularly does it mean for us to discover Christ in the 21st century? Some people may wonder if that's even possible to discover Christ. Someone who lived 2,000 years ago, can we discover him today? Or is there even a Christ still to discover? So, come with me, follow Andrew's discovery. And I think we'll see that the discovery can be as unique as each individual. It's probable, you see, that Andrew had spent some time with another preacher, John the Baptist. So he had some background and some experience of someone who was familiar with the things of God. According to a little bit earlier in the story, which is found in John's Gospel in chapter 1, he may have come from the Baptist, John, to ask Jesus who he was and what he was doing. Listen to this. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you'll see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. So, what happened here? On the face of it, it's pretty insignificant stuff. "Teacher, where are you staying?" To be honest, I think it sounds a bit of a lame question. I think they were taken aback. I don't think they quite knew what to say. But they get invited along to find out by Jesus himself. "Come and find out," he says. After that, and the time that Andrew spent with Jesus, the first thing he did was to go and find his brother, who was called Simon, and announce to him, we've discovered the Messiah, the Christ. Now, for a good Jew, that was a big deal. He'd found the stuff of dreams, of longings, hopes, of prayers. He'd found the culmination of a nation's desire. This was huge for Andrew. But what led Andrew, after an apparent chance encounter with Jesus, into an invitation to see Jesus digs, to go on to claim that he'd found the legend that their people had been waiting for centuries? Now, of course, in today's world, it may not seem much for most people, certainly not such a big deal. I mean, questions occur like, why would we want or need a Messiah? What does Messiah mean anyway? Well, wherever it's used in the Bible, it simply means the Anointed One. Or to put it another way, it means the one chosen by God to bring to fulfillment all of God's promises for his people. I guess we could give him the title, the Special One, but perhaps that might not quite convey everything God intended, since it's been appropriated by other human beings. I mean, if a football manager can claim to be the Special One, perhaps it devalues the claim. Anyway, let's just move on. If Christ is the one chosen by God to fulfill all God's promises, then actually it may be a big deal and potentially worth investigating. God actually promised a lot of things to his people, the ancient nation, Israel. He promised them a future. He promised them a land to live in. He promised them freedom, prosperity, well-being, health, his care and love for every aspect of their lives, and forgiveness for when they get things wrong, deliverance from difficulty and hardship and oppression, and his fulfilling presence to guide and to help them every step of their lives. He also made it clear to them that his people, Israel, were supposed to ensure that other peoples got the message too, that they were able to benefit from these promises as well. Israel, or the Jews, knew only two differentiations, basically. You were Jew, or you were not a Jew, or a Gentile. Jews and Gentiles, that was it. And God's message to the Jews, to Israel, his message to them and his message through them, was that all his promises were freely available to others if they chose to step into them. So, freedom, prosperity, well-being, health, his care, his love, his forgiveness when we get it wrong, deliverance from difficulty and hardship, his presence to help and guide when we go through all sorts of issues in our lives. All of those promises are freely available to everyone, not just to Jewish people, not just to Israel. Listen then to what Jesus himself said very early in his 3-year career of ministry. Find this in Luke's Gospel in the Bible in chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favour has come. Now, I think that one of the key points to make is that Jesus Christ's view of why he'd come was that he'd come to bring good news. Good news. And the ones that he refers to here are people who actually could do with some good news. Poor people, prisoners, sick people, those who were oppressed by others. All in all, he says, that he comes to release God's favour on people, to let them know that God loves them and has plans to prosper them and do them good. That sounds to me like good news. It sounds to me like something that probably most of us could feel we need. Now, when Andrew first met Jesus, I'm sure he didn't get all of this. And I don't know anyone who has met Jesus who immediately got all he was about, all he wanted to offer. Think of my own life. I was a youngster when I first got to know Jesus Christ. My parents knew him. They introduced me to him. I didn't take a great deal of notice particularly, but eventually, around about 10 or so, I got to know Jesus, but I didn't get everything that he was about. It's been an ongoing journey for the rest of my life. Let's go back to this story for a minute. You see, John the Baptist, with whom Andrew had spent some time, first tagged Jesus with a title, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God? That's a title that would only have made sense to Jews. It had huge religious meaning going back centuries. And as the Baptist commented, the Lamb of God was a reference to the need for sin to be taken away. So, As Andrew went to try to meet Jesus, he would have had these amazingly powerful images in his mind. I say amazingly powerful. For a Jew, they were amazingly powerful. Then Jesus said to him, "Well, come and see where I'm staying." Where would the Lamb of God, who'd come to take people's sins away, be living? In a temple? Palace? Somewhere imposing or grand, surely. But as Andrew would see later, Jesus had nothing to do with imposing or grand in his life, not in terms of possessions anyway. My feeling is that what blew Andrew away most was Jesus' openness, friendliness, his ordinariness, his willingness to share his life with Andrew. Because perhaps as it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went off to see where Jesus was staying, perhaps they had a meal with him too. This Lamb of God seemed to be living amongst people as one of them, not hiding away with the religious and the powerful. And the more you look into Jesus' story, the more you will discover that that is true. Andrew would certainly never have expected the Messiah, the Christ, the Lamb of God, to be sharing life with common people. I'm pretty sure, too, that Andrew would have been impressed with other aspects of Jesus' life and his words and his character. Or at least he would have discovered that this man had depths he'd not seen in anyone else. So he rushes off to his older brother and says, probably breathlessly, "We found the Messiah, the Christ." Everything else Andrew found out about Jesus Christ was discovered in the process of spending time with him, doing life with him, listening and interacting with him, of going on journeys with him. You see, what I believe impressed Andrew most on this first encounter with Jesus was that he could actually have a relationship with this man. He wasn't pushed away by his entourage because he was too important, nor drowned out by the power of clever words. He wasn't intimidated by an extraordinary intellect on display. The thing about Jesus Christ that you can discover, and that we can all discover, is that whilst he knew exactly who he was and why he'd come, he was able to handle that with a humility and a grace that allowed him to be a human being with human beings. Out of one simple, ordinary encounter, Andrew's life was transformed. And that's generally the experience of everyone who genuinely meets Jesus Christ. When people wrap him up in the trappings of religion with its rules and regulations and must-dos and must-not-dos, other people fail to see who he really is. Jesus seemed to have invited Andrew for tea and talk. Perhaps he'd like to invite you for coffee and chat. To get to know him, to find out more about him, to develop a relationship with him, to journey with him. He actually has good news for each one of us. And whilst it's a universal message, it's also a very personal one. Listen again, what Jesus said himself. "The Lord has put his spirit in me because he appointed me to tell the good news to the poor. He sent me to tell the captives they are free and to tell the blind that they can see again. God sent me to free those who've been treated unfairly and to announce the time when the Lord will show his kindness." Jesus is still available to each of us with good news for our lives, with freedom for whatever holds us captive, for insight when we can't see the way ahead, for liberty for those of us who are disadvantaged or oppressed, and lashings of God's kindness for us all. And with all of that, yeah, physical healing too. Tea and talk, coffee and chat with Jesus is available today for us as it was for Andrew. And what we need to do is what Andrew did. Ask. He asked a fairly lame question. Where are you staying, Jesus? Come and see. We could ask, any sort of simple question. It's a heart cry to him that's needed. Jesus, where are you now? Jesus, what are you wanting to do in my life? Jesus, what do you have to say to me? What good news do you have for me? With questions like that, or others, you can discover Christ, just like many millions of other people. And I pray that you will. If you have a personal question about this, well, email me at 633.633@gmail.com. That's 633, all lowercase, words 633.633@gmail.com. I hope you'll find Jesus like many other people have done, like I've done, and begin to journey with him. Ask him that simple question deep in your own heart, in your mind. Speak it out if you want to. And ask him to make himself real. He will. And if you want help, you email me. This is Philip from 633 saying goodbye. Thanks so much for listening. God bless you. And I hope we'll meet again through these podcasts.